Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome live to another edition of Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. Pleased to be with you here this Wednesday evening. We've got Eddie Goldman. You know, it's been so long since Eddie's been on the show. It's been about 6 years since Eddie's been on the show. And Eddie and I recently covered a catch wrestling event, the Liberty Bell Catch Wrestling Championship in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and we did a really, really good job. I appeared on Eddie's show afterwards discussing my thoughts on the event, and I had to interview Eddie for our show, Carson's Corner, about the state of mixed martial arts. And Eddie has been around the sport a long time. Nobody knows the sport better than Eddie, in my opinion. He really is woven into the history of the sport, and I wanted to get his take on the general state of the sport of mixed martial arts and Bellator in particular, because Eddie and I are going to be covering Bellator 123 this Friday in Connecticut. We're very, very excited about that. This is actually going to be my first Bellator event I'm covering, and this is going to be at the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut. And the main event is a rematch between Pat Curran and Patricio Fury, the Pitbull, and this is actually a rematch, as I said. And Pat has done very well. He bounces back with rematches, in my opinion, and he should do well in this fight. I'm predicting him to win. You've also got Mo LaWall versus Dustin Jacoby, who Dustin Jacoby was a replacement of a replacement fighter, and I don't think that King Mo is going to have much difficulty in this fight. You've also got a heavyweight fight that I'm looking forward to, Chuck Congo versus LeVar Johnson. And both these guys were in the UFC, and obviously they're no longer in the UFC, and I would bet all my money, and I'm not a betting man, but I would bet all my money on Chuck Congo, because I think he is the clearer striker. He is the crisper striker between him and LeVar, though LeVar has a puncher's chance. I don't give him really too much of a chance of beating Chuck Congo. That's just my opinion. Having seen both these guys fight, you know, we've studied LeVar Johnson. We never had him on the show, but LeVar Johnson is a guy who can throw down. He could punch, but, really he's not among the technical elite heavyweights out there. But nonetheless, he is an attraction. A lot of people want to see, a lot of people would want to see a fight like this. And so it's a smart fight for Bellator to put on. But I just think that Chuck Congo is in another category, another league. And that's no disrespect to LeVar Johnson. He really, really is a tough guy and was actually a victim of a drive-by shooting while attending a family event going back years ago. And so he's a tough guy, LeVar Johnson. And we're going to see what happens. I could be wrong here. You never know. But I really picked Chuck Congo to win, who, what is he? He's got to be close to 40 years old, Chuck Congo, but he's not worse for the wear. He's one of these guys that has aged well in the sport. And he has, even though he has a striking style, a stand-up style, he has had injuries in the past, but I don't think it's worn him down. I don't think that he is not capable of competing at the highest level of the sport, okay? His last fight, which is a loss to Minnikoff was really a Bellator heavyweight champion, okay? And it was a dominant performance on the part of Minnikoff, but I don't think that Chuck Congo was out of that fight entirely. In fact, let me make a correction. Chuck Congo's last fight was versus Eric Smith, and that was a TKO win on the part of Chuck Congo. But nonetheless, you get what I'm saying here, is that this guy can still fight at the upper echelon in Bellator and still do very, very well and still be very, very competitive. So we've got that coming up. We're going to get interviews from the Bellator event. We're pleased to be covering this event. It's going to be fun. We're going to be covering it with none other than Eddie Goldman, the great one, Eddie Goldman, who you're going to hear in just a few moments. But I want to give people an update about what's going on with Carson's Corner, the MMA show. We're putting all of our old MMA shows, the shows that we have, on YouTube. So you can go to youtube.com/BobCarsonMMA. We just put up the War Machine interview going back to 2009, after War Machine lost to Yoshida in the UFC, and it was about a 50-minute interview or so, give or take, and there were some real startling admissions on the part of War Machine that is really not surprising to people that have interviewed him over the years. This is a guy, I asked him, and he spoke in depth about his suicidal thoughts, how he does not think that he's going to be one of these 9-to-5ers, and therefore, you know, the likelihood of him committing suicide is great as he gets older and as he can't fight anymore, which is clearly going to be the case now, although he is innocent until proven guilty, but he is being extradited and he is in police custody right now, and presumably he's going to spend a long time in jail. We also talked about his actions towards women and on the question of whether or not he is gay, which a lot of people speculated because of, you know, his involvement in the gay nightclub scene and whatnot. He said, "I terrorize women each week. People would be surprised." And so, you know, I don't know what he meant by that, but obviously this guy has a history with women and everything like that. And it makes for a really, really good listen to. I mean, you can go on YouTube and listen to that. YouTube.com/BobCarsonMMA. Dan Quinn is supposed to update videos to, he's actually supposed to send me videos, and he hasn't done so yet. He's uploaded a couple of videos, he's got a lot of things going on, and he's going to send it to my email address, and I'm going to upload his videos. So from time to time, keep on listening, or keep on tuning into the YouTube channel at youtube.com/BobCarsonMMA, and eventually you'll see some Dan Quinn videos up there, okay? It's just a matter of getting up there. So that's what's going on with Dan. We hope to bring you some Dan Quinn interviews very, very soon. All right, without further ado, let's go to my interview with Eddie Goldman, which took place August 30th, last month, right after the Liberty Bell Classic Catch Tournament Championship. We spoke to Eddie in Trenton, and it was funny because there was a guy sleeping on the bench next to us, if you could believe that. Well, you know, I got my associate's degree in Trenton, so I'm very familiar with the area, and Trenton is sort of like Dodge City in certain parts. It could be a treacherous area. But we managed to get an interview with Eddie Goldman, who gave his wisdom on the sport of mixed martial arts, the state of mixed martial arts, Bellator, Scott Coker, and the works. So here it is. Here is Eddie Goldman on Carson's Corner.
Dan Bush. I sing Fight to Survive in the movie Bloodsport. You're listening to Justin Ray Harvey.
Hi, this is Tony Luke Jr.
Yeah. I got no soul. Life in prison, no parole, no control. Hood, I got my number on a wiretap. Plus I jacked for civil act. Fuck a Cadillac, so fine. One motive, no focus. Every sidewalk, no focus like a tightrope. Yes, I know my deadline, sire. With my life in fire, I'm sending me the salmon of the barbed wire. The mother of my child, I lose her mind at my grave. It's my life for that life, so call it a free trade. Well, neither am I even born a star. I took a death trip when I tried to cross the white wall.
David K. Johnston, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
All right, we're back here on Carson's Corner with Bob Carson. I apologize, but for some reason, the audio from the Eddie Goldman interview was not in sync. I don't know what the problem was, the timing. So I had to do a whole bunch of things during the song that you heard to try to get it up to par. And I had to put it in the program, to convert it, to do all this stuff, and you know, hopefully it is okay now. I'm trying to find it now, but I don't know what the problem was. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes when Eddie records things, it's in a different speed, and you've got to convert it. It pisses me off because the file was in the MP3 format, and now all of a sudden, I don't know what the problem was. I don't know why the audio didn't play. But here it is. Here's Eddie Goldman. Hopefully this plays at the correct speed. Ah, Jesus Christ. Nope, strike two. I don't know what the problem is. This really, really upsets me. because now I can't play the interview. I don't know why. I got to, So, well, listen, I'm going to, instead of playing you this, I'm going to play you an Eric Prindle interview that I did a few years ago. He's a Bellator fighter, and we'll close out the show with that, and I'll find out, I'll try to find out what's going on with the Eddie Goldman audio. Thanks a lot, and we'll be back at you soon.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on the phone with our good friend Eric Prindle, heavyweight season 5 or tournament 5 champion in Bellator. And Eric has been a really, really good friend of the program. He's one of the best guys that I've known in MMA. Has a huge heart, one of the kindest people that you will see in the sport of mixed martial arts. And that really comes out when you see Eric on television, just the camaraderie that he has, he expresses the great sportsmanship, and he's an overall great guy. However, his last couple fights didn't go as planned. I was watching his fight at Bellator 111. I remember this particularly because I was in Atlanta, Georgia at the time for my residency, and Eric was fighting Javi Ayala, who, you know, it was a frustrating fight to watch, and the fight, I believe, ultimately ended as a result of a referee stoppage, and I want to talk to Eric about this fight and much more, but Eric, welcome back to Carson's Corner.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, as I mentioned, your last fight with Javi, not taking anything away from Javi, I mean, you know, but I just, it was frustrating for me to watch that because, you know, I honestly felt that you are a better caliber of fighter, and I felt that, you know, you really should have won that fight. And obviously, you know, he didn't want to strike. He got numerous takedowns throughout the fight, and there was an eye poke in either round 2 or round 3, and that affected you, and you had a nasty cut. So just kind of give the fans out there a perspective on that fight, if you would.
Well, first of all, I'm not making any excuses. He beat me fair and square. Actually, before the fight, I was going to put on my jockstrap and stuff. There were some women in the locker room, so I went into the other bathroom, and as I was walking out, my dumb butt was texting. Well, on the ground there are some cables, and I tripped and twisted my back a little bit, basically just threw my back out. So, you know, long story short, he beat me, but there was some circumstances that no one knew about. Basically, I couldn't breathe all the way in. My back was pretty jacked up from me tripping. So, long story short, he beat me, but I'm sure we'll fight again one day, and, you know, he'll get better, I'll get better, we'll see what happens.
Do you think that if that injury didn't occur, that you would have done better in that fight?
Definitely. You know, I've been training with some really good guys, Josh Barnett, Jackie May, a bunch of guys, and I've been able to get up off my back, so I don't think, you know, Ayala is a great fighter, he has great potential, but I don't think he would beat the guys I've been training with. So, you know, if I can get up off my back on that, why couldn't I do it on this particular night? You know, either it was a combination of my back messing up or, you know, me just not living up to my potential or, you know, stuff just going wrong. So, but, you know, hopefully Bellator will give me another chance and I'll show what I can do. If I can do half as well in training I could do in a fight, I'm going to win the fight. So that's all I basically want to start doing is just, you know, get my groove back, getting some wins under my belt and start moving up the ranks in Bellator.
Now, was my memory correct when I said that there was an eye poke in this fight?
Oh, yeah, my eye actually got cut pretty bad, the white part of the eye. it was so bad, I guess I had a, I don't know, it's called the sclera. There was a cut. I actually had to go to the doctor and get it checked out. And they wanted to put stitches in it and stuff like that, but I decided not to due to the, I would like a civilian doctor to do something along that lines, you know, messing with their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Michael Bisping, you know, who recently fought Tim Kennedy and lost, had a detached retina, and he had several surgeries, and his eye looks ridiculous. He's got this oil in his eye now, and he's got to keep it in there as long as he wants to continue to fight. And Michael Bisping is 35 years old. He doesn't know how long he's going to be fighting for. And, you know, it's just risky. It really is. It's like it almost is that when you're fighting, you're almost better off not doing anything, getting any type of eye surgery if you intend on fighting again.
Oh, definitely. Well, I trained actually with Bisping. My last camp, he came down to CSW, Combat Submission Wrestling, with Eric Paulson, and he was phenomenal. He actually took me down a couple of times, got back up. I didn't do any striking with him, really, you know, his eye. Of course, you don't want to take any damage, especially with the heavyweight and him being a littler guy. So, but it was good training with him. All his guys are awesome, and it was definitely fun.
Now, your last fight, you lost your last two fights in Bellator. The last fight before the Ayala fight was Peter Graham, and that was a much, much better fight, I think, for the fans to watch, because that fight was primarily stand-up. And, you know, I remember posting on Facebook that although you lost that fight, you displayed a tremendous amount of heart. And this is the heart, undoubtedly, that Bellator and any organization wants to see. You know, a big heavyweight like yourself that has knockout power and likes to get into a brawl and has a chin is something that the fans, you know, want to see. And it was very, very interesting because Peter Graham did very well. Now, he kicked you. He had that big front kick that it looked like you were going to be knocked out. And then you regained yourself and you managed to fight to a decision. What were your thoughts on that fight?
The last second of the round. Actually, what happened was I got hit, and me being embarrassed, I popped back up, and I was actually laughing just because I couldn't believe I got caught with that. You know, when you don't see it, that's the punch that hurts you. So
yeah,
it was just a flash knockdown. I got back up, and the fight was over, and I was a little frustrated that I couldn't capitalize on or, you know, give something back that he gave to me. So, but Peter Graham's a great fighter, and I'm definitely would like to fight him again one day. He's definitely awesome stand-up fighter.
Yeah, he saw him.
Hurt. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, you know, he fought when you fought Javi. He fought in the same car, I believe, and Peter Graham lost to Mighty Mo. But you know, prior to that, when he fought you, it just seemed that he was able to get off his punches and his kicks a little bit faster than you were. And what do you think it was in that fight that enabled him to do that? I mean, was it something that you weren't doing? Was it, you know, was it you weren't getting in close enough and just kind of, you know, popping off your punches fast enough? Or what do you think was the difference in the fight?
Honestly, I think for me, it's I've been training with some of the best guys in the world, and I get a hold of my own for the most part. So what I need to do is train well and put that training actually into the fight. I think the last couple of fights I've had, I don't know what's happened. It seems like there's a disconnect between my training and when it's time to get into the match. It's almost like I'm there just to have fun instead of to win. And I need to get away from that. I need to go back to the drawing board and honestly just start training to maybe just start hurting people and you know, getting the wins start coming. Because I definitely need to do that if I want to stay in Bellator, because Bellator is a huge up-and-coming company, and there's better and better fighters, and, you know, you can't be a slacker and keep fighting for Bellator. So I need to get back on the card and win some fights.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you're probably going to have to, you know, to figure out exactly what to do and whatnot. I mean, you know, some guy, I don't know. It's just like some guys can perform very well in training, and then, you know, sometimes during the fight, depending upon the circumstance, you know, the personal circumstance, it just doesn't always pan out. I mean, it's just difficult. I guess probably the only person that's going to be able to fix that would be you.
Yeah, definitely. I just need to get back in the training with some great guys that, you know, have a great takedowns and good on the ground. Just keep working and, you know, keep on training every day and just try to get better. And if Bellator lets me fight for them, I need to make a big statement and show that I know I have enough power to knock out anybody with either hand, and I just need to get in there, keep the fight standing, and show it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any idea when your next fight is going to be? Have you heard anything from Bellator?
No, not yet. I'm going to call them fairly soon. I had a couple of offers for smaller shows. Bellator has let me fight. I fought in Mexico, I believe, a little while ago.
Yeah.
I think what I'd like to do is have, if possible, have a couple or one or two small fights, get back on the win streak, and have a great fight for Bellator and, you know, hopefully get in the next tournament or something, if I could show my potential, what I can do.
Yeah, and that's something that Bellator has been willing to do, you know, in the past. They I mean, when you fought Vince Lucero last year in Mexico, and that was when, you know, you were still under contract with Bellator, which we don't see that with the UFC, and I think that's important to, you know, to fight perhaps in some, you know, local Arizona shows. There are shows all across the country that I'm sure you can fight and just kind of, you know, regain your step and whatnot. Is there anybody in particular that you'd want to fight in Bellator, or does it matter?
No, not really. I just want to fight someone that would make a good fight and that they would like to stand up and bang and, you know, have a crowd-pleasing fight. That's what I would like to do, but it seems like every person except Peter Graham, which he's a phenomenal kickboxing, you know, did K-1 and whatnot. And I tried to take him down once, but I just didn't have it in me. But I think also with that fight, I had great cardio coming up to that fight, and something happened to me. It seemed like I threw one combination and I was already gassed. I don't know if that was from nerves or what, but it seems like I need to stop thinking so much and get in there and just do it. And that's the plan for the next couple of fights. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to go in and do 100%. And see what happens.
Yeah, that could be a paralysis by analysis. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm thinking too much because I am learning, you know, certain takedowns and stuff. So if I'm in training, it just kind of flows because it's not a big deal if you make a mistake. But when you get up in the fight and you second guess your takedown or you're not going at 100% or running the takedowns together, or even the opposite of that, you know, standing up and keeping the fight standing. I think I'm thinking way too much what to do instead of just doing it.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going over the Bellator roster here, and there are a lot of guys on the heavyweight roster that I've never heard of that are undefeated or close to undefeated, and you know, there's just a mixture of individuals. So Bellator should really have no problem putting you against a decent opponent that you know, would give the fans a good fight.
Definitely. I think that's what it's all about, is giving back to the fans and, you know, having a phenomenal fight that people want to either pay to see or just, you know, watch on Spike TV and keep their eyes glued and, you know, not even, like, if they have to go to the restroom, they either they're going to DVD it or TiVo it, or, you know, hold on to what they have to. I just, I want to have phenomenal fights. That way, you know, when I'm dead and gone, that people look back and, you know, say I had a lot of heart, had a good chin, and I could fight well. And hopefully my kids will be proud. And that's to me, that's what life's about, is, you know, what you leave back for other people to think about you, basically.
Yeah, I agree. I certainly agree. Do you have a time frame as far as when you want to fight next?
I'm hoping about 4 weeks. I'm hoping, but who knows if Bellator will allow me to. I got to call them and, you know, see what they're thinking and see if I can have a smaller fight on a venue that's, you know, not going to be on TV or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just having, you know, basically get back in the groove. And if a confident fighter is a dangerous fighter, and that's what I need to get my confidence back, start winning some fights, and be dangerous when I get back in the Bellator.
Now, are you still training with the same guys, Overeem and Eric Paulson and Josh Burnett and those guys?
Right now, I'm in Prescott, Arizona. I've been training with the lab, with Ashley Gooch and a couple other heavyweights there. Actually, a little while ago, what was his name? The tall, light heavyweight that went to heavyweight. He trains in Arizona.
I don't know. Travis Brown?
No, he's in UFC, but he was in Bellator. He was fought in the light heavyweight tournament and then went to the heavyweight tournament, lost against Santos, won against Santos, knocked his tooth out. He came there and trained with us for a little bit. Ashley Gooch is actually a great, good friend of mine. He's a great fighter. He's going to be probably coming up in the UFC not too long from now if he keeps getting the W's. But he's about 6'3", I think 6'2", weighs about as much as I do, and he's a pretty good ground game, pretty solid guy. I've been training with him.
Now, give people information as far as, I know you have your website up and running. It looks very nice over there. And your sponsors and whatnot, and tell people how they could keep in contact with you to keep updated on when you're going to be fighting and developments in your career.
Yeah, you could look up, it's ericprindle.com is my website. And my Twitter, I think, is Eric Prindle MMA. And on Facebook, it's just under Eric Prindle. If you guys want to contact me and just ask any questions, I'm pretty, sometimes I say too much, I think my wife says. So if you guys want to contact me, let me know. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to do that.
Now, real quickly, give us an update on our good friend Shannon Rich. He liked my comment on Facebook, so I'm assuming he's going to be listening out there. And Shannon's been another great great friend of the show. I know he's the matchmaker over at King of the Cage, and he's still fighting. He's got so many things going on.
Oh, man, he's a phenomenal guy. He has, I think, a fight coming up this, is it Monday? Is it tomorrow? I'm not sure what the date is. I know it's coming up pretty quick. He's won, like, I think the last 9 fights in a row. I know this year he hasn't lost, so he's doing phenomenal. I don't know, this, he's like an Energizer Bunny. He does so much stuff in MMA.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal guy, too. He's a good friend of mine. I'm glad. Without him, actually, I don't think I'd be in Bellator or you know, be where I'm at today. So I really appreciate his help.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great guy. He really is. Shannon's a good friend of the program. I've known Shannon for going back to 2008, and you know, he does a lot for MMA, and it's great to see him so involved with the sport and everything.
Definitely.
He's the guy.
The most active MMA fighter in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know,
I think the most fights in MMA of all time, or pretty darn close to it.
Yeah, and really, there should be some push for individuals out there to try to help him get into Bellator or him get into the UFC, because I believe Shannon has fought in Pride, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, he's fought in pretty much every show there is except Bellator,
yeah.
And UFC.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's, you know, a political thing why he hasn't fought in that or what, but I know he's a dangerous fighter. I've cornered him in several fights where he just destroys guys. If he's a confident fighter, he can beat anybody in the world, and I honestly believe that. He knows so much that he's probably forgotten more than I'll ever know. You know, hopefully, I do train with him sometime too, and he knows a lot of great little tricks that will get you the W, and, you know, that's what the game seems to be about, and that's what I need to make it about anyways.
Yeah, Shannon has fought in Pancras, K1, Pride, King of the Cage, WEC. He's been all over the place. And MFC.
Yeah, I know he has a bunch of belts right now. I know that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, listen, Eric, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much again for coming back on Carson's Corner. I know a lot of people out there will be listening to this and keeping tabs on your career going forward. Again, thank you very much, and we wish you the best of luck in your fight. Hopefully you fight sometime very soon.
And everybody, make sure you eat Patino diet. It's the best diet in the world. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Eric. Goodbye.